I think it's safe to say that being proactive is a high value in our culture. Being proactive is kind of an American virtue. Thinking ahead, being a go-getter, an early bird, making things happen, being a mover and a shaker rather than being moved or shaken. I don't think I've ever seen a job posting that said, you know, seeking a reactive, passive person. You know, someone who will patiently wait for solutions to present themselves, who will stand by and allow problems to resolve on their own. I mean, what do job postings always say? We want a proactive, solution-oriented problem solver. That's what everyone wants. There's a black and white Apple advertisement that's been aired recently called Making Greatness. That's the title of the ad. Features pictures of celebrities like Tom Hanks and Billie Eilish, Serena Williams, Spike Lee, Jane Goodall, using Apple products. And over this driving beat of music, there's some narration. And here's what the narrator says in the Apple advertisement, Making Greatness. There's a certain kind of person who doesn't take no for an answer. They don't walk in quietly. They parade in, trailblazing, eyebrow raising, status quo breaking, grazing greatness, braving hatred, taking up space. They don't sit and behave. They'd rather defy the rules and amaze. There's a certain kind of person who doesn't wait for greatness. They make it. Now, aren't you inspired by that? Aren't you fired up? Honestly, I kind of need a nap. Because this has been a year in which we have all been forced to be reactive, isn't it? A year in which we have all been subject to forces beyond our control. When we've been required to constantly revisit and reevaluate our actions and decisions in light of whatever the latest developments might be. We wonder, is it safe to go to dinner? Safe to send our kids to school, safe to go to church, safe to visit friends and family. How many masks should we be wearing? How much distance do we have to practice? Is it safe to leave the house? Should we get the shot or not? It's been a constant cost-benefit analysis, a never-ending risk-reward proposition. It's been an exhausting, testing year, a year that's been less about making greatness, to use Apple's words, and more, I think, about just making it through. Less about achievement, more about survival. Less proaction and more reaction. Well, in light of all that, this morning I want to talk about one small word. It's a word that's mentioned in the Apple advertisement. It also makes an appearance in both today's Old Testament reading and in the Psalm. Now in the ad, it's a word that connotes resignation, defeat, smallness. It's almost a dirty word, an embarrassing word. But in the Bible, in Isaiah and in the Psalm, it's a word that connotes faith, a word that creates room for hope, a word that invites the presence and the power of God into our lives. And that word is wait. Wait. The Apple ad says, and I think our culture says, there's a certain kind of person who doesn't wait for greatness. They make it. They claim it. They seize it. And woe unto you if you don't make it. Woe unto you if you wait, if you're a waiter. But the prophet Isaiah says, even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And the psalmist writes, the Lord has no pleasure in the strength of man. I think you could say no pleasure in greatness, as Apple says. But the Lord has pleasure in those who fear him, in those who await his gracious favor. Now, the truth is we hate to wait, don't we? That's kind of the genius of Amazon Prime, of Netflix and Hulu, or whatever other instant streaming service has gotten you through this pandemic. My four-year-old son knows exactly how to place an order with Alexa and expects it to show up one day later. That's actually happened before. Things show up at our door, and my wife was like, where did this come from? You know, why do we have a children's skateboard that just got delivered to our house? It's because Marshall went to Alexa in our kitchen and said, Alexa, order me a skateboard, and she dutifully complied. Or what did Veruca Salt sing in that great movie, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, with Gene Wilder? I want the world. I want the whole world. I want to lock it up all in my pocket. It's my bar of chocolate. Give it to me now. Remember that? Give it to me now. I want the whole world, and I want it now. We are impatient people at an impatient time in an impatient land. We don't like to wait. But sometimes all you can do is wait. Wait for the pandemic to be over. Wait for your body or mind to be healed. Wait for your spouse to forgive you. Wait for your child to call or to come home or to find happiness or to find faith. Wait for the job that you so desperately need. Wait for a solution to present itself. We think that waiting is a sign of weakness, of neediness, an indication of lostness or lack of intelligence, lack of willpower or courage. And maybe that's true. But waiting is also a sign and a mark of faith, a belief that we are not alone, that life isn't all up to us, that there is, in fact, someone else out there more powerful than we are, who is on our side, who is working behind the scenes for our good when we have nothing left to give, nowhere else to turn, no answers to offer, when we are confused and scared. Why is it, do you think, that Jesus went out to pray in this morning's gospel? It says he sought at a lonely place early in the morning to pray, and his disciples couldn't find him. You know, they had a plan. They knew what they wanted him to do. Everyone is looking for him, but he goes out to pray. Why is that? Because he too needed God. Even God the Son, even Jesus needed his heavenly Father. Neediness and waiting are marks of faith. There's a prominent Egyptian lawyer, actually went on to be a Supreme Court lawyer in Egypt. His name was Adele Bestravos. Adele Bestravos, born in 1924, died in 2005. He was a Christian. He was raised in the Coptic Orthodox Church. And while he was in high school, he developed a passion for the Bible through his contact with English missionaries. There were some Anglican Church of England missionaries who ran Bible studies for students in Egypt. And just to refresh your memory, we, of course, are Anglicans as well, right? The Episcopal Church is the Church of England in America. We are part of the worldwide Anglican community. So those missionaries are kind of our people. But in any event, when Adele was 22 years old, he was asked by those missionaries to leave the church of his birth, to leave the Coptic Orthodox Church and join the Anglican Church, since in their view, the Coptic clergy were uneducated and backward. And it seemed without question that the Coptic Church was in steep decline. And to their request, Adele Bestravos responded, "If my church is dying, then it is my duty to resuscitate it." Now that's quite a go-getter, proactive thing to say. And for 50 years, in addition to his flourishing legal practice, he also gave a weekly Friday night sermon and preached and taught around the country, traveled around the world, seeking and promoting the renewal of his church, the building up of God's kingdom in and through the Coptic Orthodox Church in Egypt. When I think about him, I think a bit about St. Paul's words in today's first letter to the church in Corinth, where he writes, "I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessings." Now, I mention Adele Bastravos this morning because he is best known for a certain saying, a saying that is not concerned with action or duty or greatness, but rather with waiting, with faith, with God. And I think if you're going to set yourself the task of reviving an entire denomination over the course of 5 decades, you might have learned something about waiting and faith and God. So here's what Adele Bastravos said. Patience with others is love. Patience with self is hope. Patience with God is faith. Let me say that again. Patience with others is love. Patience with self is hope. And patience with God is faith. We are in a season of patience, in a season of waiting, waiting for God to show up, waiting for him to deliver us from this moment. But isn't that always the case? Hasn't humanity always been waiting for God, waiting for deliverance? Nowhere in the Bible does it say, you've got to have it all figured out. But what the Bible does say is that we have been delivered and that we will be delivered again. And that it's okay to wait. The Bible says that Jesus has saved us from sin and death and hell, and that he will come again to save us from everything else. The Bible says that God has shown up and that he will show up again. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The Lord has no pleasure in the strength of man, but the Lord has pleasure in those who fear him, in those who await his gracious favor. Patience with others is love. Patience with self is hope. Patience with God is faith. Amen.